So I'm Dan Scott. While we're waiting for this to show up, I'm from Laurentian University. I'm the system administrator. And I'm also holding the hat of the project manager for Project Conifer, Conifer being a highfalutin academic term for an evergreen. There we go. Yay. I must say, it's really nice. Here, I'll move this microphone up. It's really nice to present and actually be able to see my screen at the same time. I spent about 3 hours at Code for Lib 2 weeks ago doing presentations and couldn't see my own screen for the entire time. So thanks for the laptop. This is great. Why am I here? Well, as I said, I'm project manager for Project Conifer. And Project Conifer, a little bit of background about this before we start talking about acquisitions. Our timeline is actually pretty brief. Laurentian University, which has a full-time equivalent of about 9,000 students and about 500,000 bib records. McMaster University, which has, I believe, 1.8 million bib records. And the University of Windsor, which I think it has about 1 million bib records, so it's, you know, the mama bear, got together and talked about the possibility of moving to Evergreen, because we're all on systems that have a brief life expectancy. The vendors may say differently. In our case, actually, we have a new version of the old software to move to, but our hardware is actually end of life. So we've got to make at least a hardware migration, and we've got something like $100,000 would be associated with moving to just the same software on new hardware. So why bother if we're going to be sticking with the same problems? So we wanted something that's a little bit more open and tailorable. Is anyone familiar with the university librarian of McMaster University, Jeff Treziak? You can see his blog at, I believe it's ul@mac, wordpress.com. He's a pretty fast-moving guy, so he will jump on things pretty quickly, and he's thrown a lot of support behind this project. So the resources that we came out of in probably August, September were, okay, we'll get together and buy a test cluster of hardware, 5 servers, to kind of play around with test load, do load stress testing, do configuration. And between the three universities, we'd add up to 1.5 full-time equivalent people. The problem is that we have tried to make that out of existing positions. And the problem is that as a systems librarian, my real job doesn't go away just because someone waved a magic wand and said, okay, now 80% of your time should be spent on working on Evergreen as a project manager. The other thing was that the reason I became a project manager was because I had spent 8 years at IBM previously and had a couple of years as product manager experience there. And the thing that I had argued strenuously was that we need to get a full-time project manager on this, and that person shouldn't be doing other things. They should be, you know, making sure all pieces are coming together. And then I became the project manager and had systems librarianship and development responsibilities. So this is laying the groundwork for some of the reason why acquisitions is where it is today, as opposed to where we are hoping it would be. So what I think we need, kind of the big picture items, is academics, since many of the people here are from academic libraries. What we need to add to Evergreen, I should say, would be academic reserves. We talked about course reserves. We've got kind of two routes to go with that. One is the simple build into Evergreen approach, and it's actually a pretty small development job to do that. Most of the cost is in the user interface design at that point, maybe a person week of effort. The other approach would be to take an existing open source reserve system, Reserve Direct, which comes out of Emory. I think Jason White is the lead developer on that, originally developed by Ross Singer. That's written in PHP, which would mean a PHP connection needs to be made to Evergreen. There's not a PHP client support right now, but Andrew Nagy, whose name has come up several times in presentations today, is considering creating a PHP OpenServe client for ViewFind, which could then be reused for things like Reserve Direct. So we might have a way there. Acquisitions, obviously, big ticket item. Multilingual support, probably not a problem for most places here. I work at a bilingual university, and it's extremely important. It's one of the reasons why we actually want to get away from our current software, because we had it working for about 6 months out of the 5 years now that we've been on our current vendor's software. And when we upgraded to the latest version, it broke, and they told us, oh, you just have to upgrade to the next version of the software that comes out that requires new hardware. So we're in bad shape with that. Serial support. So serials is another big piece that we care about. Jeff at McMaster has asked the question, well, do we really need to check in serials anymore? We're not quite that radical. We actually still do like to have at least a little bit of inventory control over it. But it's a question, you know, occasionally you have to ask, are these practices things that we really need to keep on doing? And a Z39.50 server. Notice I'm Canadian. I pronounce things the proper way. as Bob said, SRU support, sort of the underpinnings of that was committed last week. And there are a number of libraries out there that do Z39 to SRU translation. So once SRU is actually fully in place, it should be a very simple matter of putting Z39 server interface on top of it. So, what we're all really here to talk about today. No pressure. So, first of all, I'm going to acknowledge that it's been a long, hard road. And there were projections for having a system in place, and that target has been missed a few times. I think the first problem that the initial target when Pines came out was that, okay, by the following summer we'll have an acquisition system in place. One thing I pointed out at a presentation for OLEDA, the Digital Odyssey, in April last year, was that I was concerned about how Evergreen's development organization and community would be able to grow and absorb all of the attention that everybody is, you know, focusing, laser focus on Evergreen. And Elizabeth has talked a little bit about that as well. I mean, four people trying to answer requests for visits, either going to or coming from, and then setting up their own company, there's a whole lot of overhead there that takes away from that core developer time that, you know, they were in some ways in a bubble when they were just working with GPLS trying to get Evergreen up and running. So that was one problem. I think the other problem is that the complexity of acquisitions and what the different requirements that different libraries have or expectations that they have for it probably was a little bit underestimated. In some ways, building a good acquisition system, the one that you want to keep and not throw away, is maybe not exactly the same as, but it approaches the complexity of building an ILS. So maybe a 2-year time frame is actually a more reasonable time frame to put on things. So in July 2007, there was the first ACFest. And that was held in Atlanta and involved Ed Summers, Art Rhino, myself, Brandon Uhlman from BC, and the core Evergreen developers. I apologize if I left anyone else out of that. We met, we discussed requirements. David Fiander had written a requirements document on spec. He was paid by the University of Windsor, I believe, to create this requirements document. And it laid the groundwork for what we knew we wanted to do. Art Rhino brought to the table Open for Business, the open source enterprise relation resource planning project, which is a massive Java piece of software that does almost everything that you could imagine, including manufacturing and production processes and all kinds of things outside of kind of core acquisitions. But it provided, you know, kind of the pieces that we thought that we needed. A problem is that Art is probably one of the smartest people in the library software world. And there are other people who recognize that. And they, he was, I think, the executive director of Knowledge Ontario at the time. So he ended up spending a lot of his time, actually almost all of his time, working on work for Knowledge Ontario rather than on Evergreen at the time. And he also had a newspaper that he co-owns with his wife that he thought was going to sell. So he ended up not having nearly as much time to put into acquisitions development as he had hoped. And we, to be honest, were leaning on him pretty heavily. So in December, we had another acquisition, or ACFest. And a lot of the pieces came together at that time. EDI, what we our plan for implementing EDI, our plan for, okay, what the real requirements need to be, came together. But at the end of that meeting, we decided the open for business integration approach doesn't seem to be working. It's a huge beast, far bigger than Evergreen itself was. Let's do this the same way that we built, or we, the same way that Mike and Bill and Jason and Brad built Evergreen in the first place. Go back to kind of core principles, work closely, build rapidly and iteratively from the ground up the services and the user interface that that people need. So there's a target for the end of April for kind of the basic functionality for acquisitions being in place, and I'd have to say that that target is actually looking pretty reasonable. It's not going to be bells and whistles. It's going to be a lot of the infrastructure, the OpenSurf infrastructural layer is going to be in place, and the schema will be in place. The user interface is going to be bare bones HTML, and probably a lot of the functionality still won't be exposed. But basic acquisitions will be there. So what are we trying to do? There are what we've identified as two major models for acquisitions. The first is the you do everything by hand. So you go and find from your various vendors what items you want to acquire for your library or for a set of libraries. You have these selection lists. You generate a purchase order. You send that off to the vendors. You set up funds that you pull the money from. Everything is done sort of by hand by the human. And then there's the other model where someone like Blackwell doesn't even offer you the ability to have a discovery interface that a machine can use. You have to go into their selection interface. And they actually do a great job of providing you a support for acquisitions. But you go into their interface, and after you've made all of your selections, you say, okay, send me a sort of set of MARC order records, and the system will generate it will read in those MARC order records and generate everything based on the information that that vendor has sent back to you. So our approach is to build the manual entry version first, and then automating that for the batch record loading is actually a small matter of programming, theoretically. So the AA, I'm an Evergreen addict. The acquisition architecture, yeah. Acquisition architecture. So Bob had talked about OpenSurf. The business logic is that's where it gets built. Everything that you can do from the staff client or everything that you can do from the OPAC, you can do from a command line in just calling these OpenSurf services called the Surf Shell. The user interface that we're using the Pylons web framework. And that gives us a rapid application development model. It's not heavyweight. We don't have to compile and deploy and rebuild. What we can do is we can actually just change a small piece of code. It's automatically reloaded. You can test the change immediately. So you can actually sit down with people who are working, who need to use the interface. You can actually make a change and immediately have that change visible and say, is that what you expected to see? Okay, maybe we can cut this step out or make this thing happen automatically. So this is my first success at getting the acquisition system running. It's not all that much of a joke. What this is showing is actually there are authorization and permissions built into the system from the get-go. Those kind of flow from the existing Evergreen permission structure. We're adding new sort of authentication mechanisms as well. But at its core, you still have some of the hierarchical permissions. You also have the ability to have per-object permissions added now. So that's been an enhancement that's come into place as a result of the requirements of acquisitions that's now available throughout the entire Evergreen architecture. So you can give people the ability to view a specific fund if they don't already have that. You can give people the ability to administer a fund, to create funds. There are specific per-object privileges that you can create and use. So for real, if you wanted to take a look at a particular fund, this is the kind of thing that it's doing. It's just generally accepted accounting principles. So kind of go to the core accounting textbooks. These are the kinds of displays. And like I said, it's not flashy at this point. The idea is to get the basics out there, and then we can build the whiz-bang Web 2.0 Ajax interfaces once we're sure that the system itself is nice and solid. And it's pretty amazing. I'm not doing a whole lot of development on the acquisitions part. A lot of this has come out with the addition of David Fiander at ACFest 3, who's now on contract. David is the Canadian who originally wrote the SIP 2 open NSIP code. He was contracted by Liblong for that. So he's a long and storied history with Evergreen. So David has... we found David again. We found a few of his hours. He's joined the team to help out with this. So he's the person who wrote the requirements document. So he understands acquisitions. In concert with all of the consultations that we've done already, Conifer, in Project Conifer, we've had our acquisitions development librarians get together. So we've got a very academic perspective on what acquisitions needs. There are some extremely cool public library requirements for things like distribution patterns. People familiar with those? The idea that you can assign, say you're buying 6 copies of a specific item, and you want to assign a distribution pattern of, the example that we saw was African-American romance literature. You may have a distribution pattern set up for that, knowing that that is a very popular genre at 3 of your 15 libraries. You may say, okay, assign the first 2 copies to these 3 libraries, and if we have any extra, sprinkle them sort of in series throughout the rest of the libraries, so that we get the core requirements covered at the core libraries where those actual genres are required. It doesn't really come into play in academic libraries, but in public libraries is a critical piece. Fund accounting. So basic general accounting, generally accepted accounting principles. Selection lists. So selection lists are, each user can have an unlimited number of selection lists. They have their own titles. So you can have, I guess, Art would call it desiderata. The idea is that you can have a wish list that you would build up. And if funds magically show up, say some other collection development librarian does a really poor job of buying things and has money left over that you can shift from their fund into yours, you can suddenly fulfill that wish list. Or you can theoretically share these lists with other people so that they can, you can work collaboratively to develop a selection list and say, here are the things that we want to build. You can look into each one of the line item or selection list item details, so you can see, you know, is this really, you get the full MARC record if you want at this point. So you can really be sure that the item that you've got is not the Hamlet 1994 edition from Scholastic Books, it's the 1996 edition from wherever. You can go to that level. And underpinning this selection list model, this is the same model that's being used for the purchase orders. We're calling them jacked up bib records, JUBs are the class. So the idea is that you can annotate these with more information like vendor price, the vendor that this item came from. You can annotate it with potentially discount, you can annotate it with this copy needs to, at the copy level, if you're ordering multiple copies, this copy needs to go to a particular library. So title search. Right now, this is a really, really basic interface, but it allows you to search across multiple Z3950 interfaces or anything that can be made to look like a Z3950 interface. So one location is the Evergreen catalog itself. If you've got an item and you want to order another copy of it, you can just search in your existing catalog and pull that item detail into a selection list. Of course, Library of Congress comes configured out of the box, OCLC. There are vendors like Coutts that provide Z3950 interfaces, so you can add them. And the really cool thing I think that might flow with this is the ability to search across multiple vendors and, say, compare prices or potentially compare expected delivery dates. Do they have it in hand or is it backordered? That, to me, given that, you know, knowing how our existing workflow works, that would be an amazing step forward. But if you're in the Blacklow's world and you go into their interface, you don't, you know, There's nothing that we're going to be able to do about that. We can't make that much magic happen. And then purchase orders. Like I said, that's really just a kind of a an enhanced version of a selection list, but this is where you've actually gone and issued the order. You'd be able to drill down in the details of that that particular provider. Purchase orders would be created per vendor, of course. So you'd be able to drill into the details, go back and forth. And the idea is that you should be able to track status throughout the system. So when we add request support into Evergreen, the request should automatically flow into a selection list. You should be able to scope it by subject area or by collection development librarian. The person who submitted that request should be able to see at all times where the status of that request is, whether it's gone into a selection list, whether it's been considered and rejected, whether it's been sent out for order. They should be able to be notified as soon as that item actually comes in. They should maybe get a hold automatically placed on it for them. In an academic world, that's certainly the kind of workflow that we want. So I'll talk a little bit about features that we've got on the roadmap. So that marked order record loader that that I was talking about, we need to build an interface for that. Pylons is a, you know, as a web framework, should be a very straightforward kind of piece of functionality to build. Hoping maybe we can get Gabriel Farrell to build that for us. Sorry, Pete. The idea is that you should just be able to map, create a definition for a given provider. You know what sort of source their order records come in. Map the field and the subfields to the pertinent columns. Bring it into the bring it into Evergreen. We want out of the box provider support, so things like being able to talk with Coots, being able to talk with Blackwell from the get go. You don't have to necessarily define all these custom things yourself. And having EDI send and receive support for that. So I'm talking with the vendors right now, and we're kind of doing a little bit of a dance where the vendors are saying, well, give us your sample documents so we can, you know, build what we need to support them, and we're kind of saying, well, tell us what you expect and we'll build it that way. But the important thing is that they're very excited about this, and they are very open to talking with us about it. They do see Evergreen as something that they need to support. It is a real library system to them. It's not just a fictional little thing that lives down in Georgia. Right. And mark order records themselves. Request management, I talked about a little bit. That's on the roadmap. It's not going to be certainly in version one. And some sort of simplified acquisitions reporting. So you should be able to, if you're a collection development librarian, should be able to get out of the box a fairly simple, show me the funds that I have access to, show me the amounts that are left available in each of those funds, so that I know what sort of a state I'm in and how much I need to spend. And I kind of emphasize some of those things because they're not easy in our current system. When I send a purchase order off to be ordered by our acquisition staff, I don't know if they've actually really received it or if it went into a black hole, and I can't find out for a while. One of the public libraries that we talked to that had built their own acquisition system on top of a proprietary vendor system built their own because when they created, actually before they even created an order, when they're just trying to build selection lists for consideration, their system automatically exposed the item in the live system, even though they hadn't even considered possibly purchasing it at that point. Users would start placing holds on items that, you know, probably weren't going to be bought. I mean, you could argue, well, if they're placing holds, then you should really buy it, but having a little bit more control than that is a good thing. So, I still have a little bit of time, and I could show you code if you're interested, a little bit of code. Or we could just leave more time for questions, if you'd prefer. And included in those questions could be questions about Project Conifer and what we're doing. Actually, I'm going to take a second to talk about that. So in January, I sent a note to the members of Project Conifer saying, course correction required, because it was clear that we were not making the progress that we wanted. And I identified the problem being that we were relying almost entirely on the existing Evergreen Equinox developers to build what we wanted, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. We had on paper assigned 1.5 people to it, but in reality, it wasn't working out. We weren't able to commit. I was doing a lot of work on multilingual support, for example, and not a whole lot on acquisitions. So out of that, we expect to be able to fund at least one full-time developer for probably a couple of years, based on Art's work that he's done with Knowledge Ontario. And I hope it's okay for me to say that, since this is being recorded. And we also, when I almost immediately after I put that message out, Jeff responded from McMaster and said, well, we'll hire, you know, we can get a give you a contract for a full-time developer, again, probably for a year at that point. In the intervening time, we've also put forward some pretty significant funding proposals to one agency that actually asked us for innovative ideas for ways to spend money. And we're very happy to go with that, so I'm hoping that we might be able to have a more public announcement of something along those lines in a while. I'm just going to leave you all tantalized for a little bit, but rest assured that, you know, we think that one of the reasons that acquisitions hasn't progressed as far as it has today is because we have not contributed ourselves as much as we should have. So I would say a message to anyone considering adopting an open source system, make sure that you actually put in your project proposal real resource allocations. Shaving it out of people's jobs probably isn't going to work all that well because those jobs don't usually go away. They come back and bite you a few weeks down the road. So with that, I will close.